dimensions that God gave to the church of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans is one of the most important revelations that God gave to the church of who? Jesus Christ. It's one of the most important books in that Bible. And as a Christian, you would do yourself a world of service to understand the book of Romans, because in that book is a revelation of one of the cornerstones of Christianity, one of the most important things in Christianity, and that is the gift of righteousness, the man that is unrighteous. It's so crucial that you must understand this. It's not a joking matter. And so as we go on to study chapter 5, we're going to see where Paul started to develop this teaching from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3 to chapter 4, and now arrives at chapter 5. He said that what I teach according to him is what the prophets say. He said, I don't teach anything else except what the prophets have already what? Said. And so the issue of righteousness that God is going to give to the man that is unrighteous was prophesied heavily in the Bible by the prophet, especially Isaiah and David. And so, just to remind us what the prophet said about that, I'll just take you back to Isaiah 53, verse 11. And if you should understand, if you read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11, you see why I said in chapter 54, it takes you the benefits of righteousness, and even tells you that the reason that you can condemn every tongue that it rises up against you is because your righteousness is from where? From him. But let's look at Isaiah 53, verse 11. It says, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible. Will make it what? Possible. For many to be counted what? Righteous. For he will bear all their sins. A denial of this fact is a denial of the cross and the payment of the cross. It's a ridiculing of what Jesus did on the cross. So in chapter 1, Paul began to teach that man is intrinsically evil. The fallen man nature is what? Evil. And he said that even the Gentiles, even though they didn't have the law of God, but they had a well-developed conscience. A man has a well-developed conscience. And all you need to do is to look at even the primitive cultures. You will see that those primitive cultures, they were shaped by the conscience of people. They say this is abomination. They never read the Bible, but they know that this is what? Abomination. You don't do that. So how did they get this idea? They didn't read history books. In all the cultures of the world, you see all these taboos that man put in place that tells you that man has a highly developed conscience, because man was created in the image of what? Of God. Man is not an animal. Man is organizing his conscience. You can kill your conscience, but that doesn't mean that God didn't create you in that ability to have that supernatural, not superb conscience. Animals don't have conscience. That's why they eat each other. I mean, I was watching lions. I realized that a lion will eat a cub. You know what a cub is? When he's not the father. He will just kill the thing and drop it there, so that the mother will have his own baby. So, and Paul was saying that in spite of the fact that man has this sophisticated conscience, that man by choice Watch what he wrote there. He said, man will choose to live a righteous life. He said they will choose to do abominable things. And he said that man has the ability to know that there is God. He said creation tells man that that's what? That's God. That you don't have to doubt that, because even up to today, humanity is spending trillions of dollars just to prove that there is no God. They have an obsession with this thing. They can't go to bed and sleep. For years now, nations have been pouring in billions of dollars, risking lives to prove that there's water somewhere. Just to show there's what? Like, so they use their satellite, they said, we saw something like what? Get it and drink, let's see. Nobody has seen anything. Praise the Lord. And then the theory of evolution came up, which is still a theory, as it today has not been proved. Nobody has seen anything like that. Man is so upset. What Paul wrote is absolutely true. That man is intrinsically evil. Man is so, did you see the wars that man has caused and killed millions of people just because two arrogant people refused to agree? And then they send their armies. They make very dangerous bombs that can wipe out the whole world. Man, you know, there's one zoo in Germany. If you go there, you see a signboard that says the most dangerous animal on earth. So you follow that thing. And you follow it, then they tell you to turn right. You just keep following it. And then finally you come and you see the picture of a man. And the arrow will point at him and say, this is the most dangerous animal on earth. Wickedness in the heart of man. Wickedness in the heart of man. Wickedness in the heart of man. Man is capable of doing such evil that is unimaginable. Totally unimaginable. And so Paul was saying that this is not forced on man. This is death by choice. This is by what? By choice. Is there the choice? Is their choice to worship the creation instead of the creator? Now, the creation now that is worshipped in different countries in America is dollar. I don't know what they worship in Nigeria. Nada. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So he made that point in chapter 1 of Romans. And then he came to chapter 2 and said to the Jews, you people that have the law, you boast yourself in the law, that you know it and you teach it. But he said, you don't keep it. He said, you don't keep it. He said, you that tell people not to steal, do you steal? He said, did you know the heathens are now blaspheming God because of your boasting that you know God and your life is contradicting what you teach? So there was an indictment on people who have the law, the Jews that had the law. So he was trying to show that in spite of the law given to man, that man by choice will do unrighteousness. And let me ask you a question. Can we decide to be sincere for a while? Don't you recognize that there are some things you do, you know that are not right, but you choose to do them anyway? Come on now. Huh? And not once. Not twice. Not thrice. You see, this man is right in his. You know it's wrong, but you choose to do them anyway. And it's not even once. Not even twice. We know that telling lies is wrong. Huh? I won't ask the next question. Do we? I didn't ask it, you asked. We know it's wrong, but do we tell? We know it's wrong, but we choose to tell. Lies, exaggerations, and all manner of total gagas that's trying to present yourself in a false image, you know, of being too good. And being all of that. That's a beautiful name for that. It's called hypocrisy. we can go on and talk about many things we know is wrong, but we decide what? Okay, don't judge people, we know it's wrong. But it doesn't take us, at the drop of a hat, we judge people. Because it's so interesting to judge somebody as long as you're not the one being, oh yeah. We find people's faults so easily. I was passing by, I heard one preacher say, he said, we judge people by their actions, and when it comes to us, we judge ourselves by our motive. So we say, but you did this, but you know I didn't even want to do it. But if it's somebody else, you point at them, you did it. Uh-huh. But if it is us, we say my motive is not that bad. So Paul was saying that the Jews, it's not that the fact they had the law, that this intrinsic evil in man will not let them keep that law. And if you come to chapter 8, you see where he said it. He said what the law could not do because of the weakness, what? Of the flesh, that God did it. Praise the Lord. And so in chapter 3 of Romans, I'm just going through this so we refresh our memory. Is that okay? Yeah. In chapter 3 of Romans, he says, we have now concluded that all have sinned, whether Jews or Gentiles, and therefore all have fallen short of what? Glory of God. And he said, there is none righteous. He gave about 7 or 8 indictments against humanity. Just in case you think it's a lie, can we read it? In Romans chapter 3. Verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none. The word none keeps repeating. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And then he went down to say, none is righteous. None at all. So none is righteous. No man is what? Righteous. And so in that chapter 3, he introduced this thing he started to talk about in chapter 1, where he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. And in it is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. He said the gospel reveals to mankind God's new way to make him righteous. Don't forget that it has been established that man is unrighteous. Praise the Lord. Even not saying hallelujah is part of it. I said praise the Lord. It says the gospel reveals now. You don't find many writers of the New Testament who wrote about this thing. Except this man. He had incredible revelation. But he paid tremendous price for it. The devil pummeled him. Do you know the scripture talks? Jesus said that when you come into revelation of the word, that trouble arises because of it. The devil will try to snuff it out quickly. He will try to make you not believe it, because he knows if you get established in that truth, if you do get established in that truth, you'll be a danger to him. You'll be a danger to him. He can't do much anymore, because you shall know the truth, and then you walk in freedom. So he will fight that truth. Jesus said, yeah, he said, when trouble arises because of the word, some people follow. That man faced trouble because of the revelation. He said, doors are open to me, but so many adversaries. So he began to talk about the fact that now man is unrighteous, that God is now making man righteous, free of charge, because of what Jesus what? Did in paying for our sins, paying the penalty for our sins. If he is owing, you see, sin brings penalty. If the penalty is paid, is he free? Master, is he guilty? Huh? Is he now justified? Why? The penalty what? That's what Paul is saying. It's that simple. It's not too complicated. It is the benefit of the cross. It is the benefit of what? Can we say it together? I didn't hear you. the benefit of the cross. Look at Romans 3:18, King James Version. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It's the indictment we are reading. This is the last stages of it. Now we know. What do we know? That what things soever the Lord said, he said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. He said the law even exposed man that man is sinful. So no man can boast about it anymore. Then verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall what? No flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge. He said the law reveals to man his evilness, that he's evil. It reveals the sinfulness of man. And so that nobody can boast. He said every mouth is now what? Shut. So nobody can rise up before God and say to God, see how? But you know people do that. I'm not kidding you. We still do this stupid stuff. Thinking that, you know, and God is saying, really? Really? I was walking. I said it on Wednesday. I was walking in the park where I go to walk. I won't tell you where I walk. I don't want you to come there and see me. Because when I go to walk, they're always passing me. I'm like bringing the rear all the time. But today I passed two people. So I mean, that's a progress. I passed two people. They'll come up, especially these Asians. These Chinese men, if they are running, run away. They're always like this and they sleep. Once they come, piap, 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 machine. They pass me like a small boy. I don't bother. So I don't want you to come and see what they are doing to me. So I was busy walking and the Lord started to talk to me. And the conversation went like this. And believe you me, I've never had anything like this. I've never had anything like this all my life. He said, do you know you have a limited knowledge of unrighteousness? I said, really? He said, yes. He said, do you know that only the Holy Spirit knows the full range of unrighteousness? The man doesn't have all the knowledge of what is unrighteous. He said, we have so limited knowledge of what? He said, because of that, we do a lot of unrighteous things without even knowing that they're unrighteous. He said, did you read my word? Where I said that when you get matured, you will now be able to know right and wrong. Because when you get to that level, your fellowship with the Holy Spirit has been highly enhanced. He said, your knowledge of unrighteousness is only about sex and lying. He said, there's a lot more. He said, people forget that even doubting God is sin. That you call God a liar. You say, but you doubt God, he doesn't even bother you. Praise the Lord. He said, doesn't even what? Bother you. He said, because your knowledge of unrighteousness is so limited. He said, that's why you depend on my mercy all the time. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, now, I want us to understand this particular verse. From this thing that I've said about our limited knowledge of unrighteousness, right? Let me give some few more examples so we can understand this verse. I was talking with a group of pastors from Nigeria, and they were talking about how somebody would go to hell, one of their members or somebody. He's going to hell. They were sure he would go to hell. And after all that long story, and I said to them, I said, so you are not going to hell, right? I said, do you know even the fact that you are here speaking evil of that member tells me you don't know God? I said, the shepherd does not fight the sheep. Neither does he speak evil of the sheep. He's supposed to love the sheep. And love covereth the multitude of what? And you feel comfortable with it. I said, let me ask us a question. Is there anybody here who doesn't come in sin? Everyone went quiet. I said, do you sing in your church? There is none holy as the Lord. There is none. I said, have they found you now holy as the Lord? Everyone was quiet. I said, some of us pastors, You know, sometimes you talk, you don't even know what. I said some of us pastors persecute our wives so much. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows this type of wickedness we exercise in the homes. Nobody knows it. I said, I want to see how many of us pastors that our wives are free in the house to say their mind without being attacked, without being shawalawa. Everywhere I went quiet. Everywhere I went dead quiet. I said, okay, if that person is going to hell, why will these other people go? And we were eating, so nobody was eating much anymore. So I realized that the Lord has hit something here. I said, leave this judgment to God for God's sake. Praise the Lord. I said, all that the Lord told us is to love one another. And the Bible says, examine yourself. It didn't say examine your brother. It is to examine what? No scripture says examine your brother. Whether it's you say examine yourself. I said, I have a love trouble in my life that I don't have time to look at somebody else's issue. All I read, I'm saying, Lord, keep cutting the thing away. Keep carrying it away. It's a lot. Praise the Lord. However, after that conversation, that place was quiet. And we came here. We walked around here. We walked around here. And I realized that we needed to, you know, pick up the thing. But however, that's verse 20 I'm trying to explain. Now you can understand verse 20, right? Eh? So you don't join those pastors. Let's join this one. Therefore, let's read together. One, to go. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be what? Justified in his sight. For by the law is the... Do we agree on this? This is the word of the Spirit of God. It can't be, just be true. No flesh, no human being can. Nobody. The sooner we agree, the better. And that levels all of us. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. I said, praise the Lord. I was going to pray for somebody. And the situation was so bad. I mean, so bad. So as I was going, I said, Lord, you know, the type of wiggles for, they have this gift of the Spirit that they can perform all these miracles and all these things. I said, if he was here, maybe he would have done better. And the Lord said to me, I'm not a respecter of persons. He said, if you exercise faith there, my power will still be visible. He said, you don't live by gifts. You live by faith. He said, all things are possible to them what? That believe. He said, no Christian is in any disadvantage at any point. The only problem is can he believe? I said, yeah, I can believe you now. Let's go. And I went. Don't ask me how the thing went, because if it's you, we'll do better. But I went and tried my best. Amen. And came out and comforted myself for my lack of faith. Praise the Lord. And the journey continues. Amen. The journey continues. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So in verse 21, but now, everybody say now. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is how? By faith of Jesus Christ unto some people. All and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. How does this righteousness come? Believing in the Lord. Verse 23. For all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24. Being justified, how now? Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What happens? The next one. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. So, it's telling us that if we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God counts us righteous. Because by the deeds of the law, nobody can perform 100%. Are we agreed on that? Eh? Yeah. You know, people hear it, they say, wow, what it means is you can do. No, it's not what you say. It's not what you say. That's what Paul was writing. He said some people went and said that we're saying, let us do evil. So that what? Good may come. He said, those people are already condemned. But that's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. I want to ask us a question. Do you have any other way out? If God doesn't give you this as a gift, do you have any other way to get it? I'm asking a question. Huh? If you don't get it, how do you go to heaven? If you're unrighteous on earth, how can you go to heaven? So the only way we can get it is what? By faith in Christ. And God counts you now righteous, and God now accepts you. When God accepts you, and when God accepts you in fellowship, God begins to now teach you his ways. He begins to show you great and mighty things, which what? Until God accepts you as righteous, you and him cannot share those teachings and fellowship. And the person will die in his ignorance. If you get what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. This is the beginning of your walking and living the life of God. This is where it starts. This is the foundation of it. That God accepts you. Makes it now possible for you now to have every other thing that God gives, even including revelations and the truths about life. He opens you up to all these things so that you can now live according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Eh? Okay. So in chapter 4, Paul began to teach how faith is critical in God counting you righteous and in us receiving the things of God, including the power to live holy too. It's not different. The power to heal is not different. It's not different. This power is not true. This Holy Spirit is not true. It's the same Holy Spirit. This is disturbing what I'm doing. Somebody take us on. I don't like this right now, but it's cutting off. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Okay. So, what was I saying? Okay, so the power to live holy is the same power that heals. They're not two. We are kept by the power of God. Is this power different? It's the same power that keeps you. The same power heals you. The same power provides for you. The same power makes you have wealth. The same Holy Spirit. The same power that is unto you. And so Paul in chapter 4 was trying to show that everything we see from God is through the same means of faith in Christ Jesus. The same way we receive this gift of righteousness is the same way we receive everything from God through his grace. And he used Abraham as what? As an example. To show that God will count you righteous or qualified to receive anything from him for which you believe him for. Praise the Lord. And so he used Abraham as an example and showed how Abraham received Isaac simply because he believed what God told him. And so you can receive healing if you believe what God what told you. You can receive anything. And so what he's trying to establish is that this idea of righteousness by faith is not isolated. That this is the way we receive everything that God has for us. Amen? Look at Romans 4, verse 20. Okay, sorry. Let's go to verse 13. Romans 4, 13. clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law. It was based not on his what? Obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is solely for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary. Because you cannot get it when you qualify, when you have obeyed all the laws of God. But has anybody obeyed it yet? So that becomes impossible. So, for verse 14, if God promises only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. The promise is pointless. Because why should I promise something you can qualify any other way? It's pointless. Why should God promise me anything when I don't need that promise? I qualify another way. I can keep all his laws and get it. So what is the promise? What is the usefulness of the promise? So all the promises of God in Christ will be really useless, because we can get it by obeying all the laws. Which means we don't need Jesus. That's calamity. Praise the Lord. So, in verse 15, for the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no laws to break. 16. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. The promise is received what? By faith. It is given as a free gift. Let's say it together. Come on. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to what? Receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. Because you see, if it is restricted to the law of Moses, number one, nobody can obey the law. Number two, we Gentiles will be out of it. Because the law was given to who? To the Jews. We Gentiles will be out of it. So, Jesus Christ became a leveler. So that the Jews can now believe in Christ and receive things from God. And we too cannot believe in Christ and receive what? Things from God. So, in verse 16. So, the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of what? Many nations. This happened. This happened because Abraham, what? Believed in the God who brings what? Brings what? Back to what? And who creates what? New things out of what? Do you know that this is the way you live the life of God? This believing in God who gives life is the same way you believe that you are a new creature. It's the same way you believe that all things have what? Passed away. It's the same way you believe that sin shall have no dominion. It's the same way you believe it and you see the power of God doing your life. Praise the Lord. Can I ask us a question? Have you ever seen... Everybody has seen a tree, right? And tree have branches, right? Huh? Have you ever seen any branch that is bearing fruit when it's cut off from the tree? I'm asking. Huh? Why is it not bearing fruit? Huh? Huh? Okay, now, if you go, because you see, when I was going to this path, there used to be storm, and then these branches will fall, and then they'll start drying. Now, supposing I go to that branch that is falling off, I say, look, you branch, you must bear fruit, okay? You have to bear fruit. I'm telling you, is it not that something is wrong with me? But that's what we do. The only way that thing can bear fruit is if you take it back and go back to the tree and graft it what? Back, so that the life in the tree will start what? You don't bear fruit when you are cut off from Christ. You don't. You don't. Brethren, you don't. All that is a futile attempt. Jesus said it's impossible.
He says you can't bear fruit without. It's impossible. It's a, that's what the churches are teaching. Jesus himself said the branch can't bear fruit now without it. He said the same you can. So the only way you can bear fruit is faith that attaches you to Christ. Faith in Jesus attaches you to Christ. Can I hear amen? And because you believe his word, life in him is flowing what? Through you and being seen by people. Without your effort, you are not pretending to be a Christian. You are not trying to act it up. You are not trying to show them I'm a believer here. You're just being real and living your life normally. Normally. And it's consistent. No pretense about it. Because what is powering it is coming from the Lord himself. If you understand me, shout hallelujah. It's no pretense. I tell people all this, you know, if you go there, let them know you're a Christian. Don't tell me that story. I should live my normal. If my normal life is not telling the story, something is wrong with me. I want to go and have headaches, planning how to impress a dude that I'm a Christian. That is why the Bible says we should not entice people. If you live, if that thing is flowing, you live that life of love, pretty soon everybody will come after you now. If you travel, they'll say, where is that that brother? I don't see him. See, you know that brother that smiles a lot. Hey, brother, every time that brother is around. Wow. But when you travel, nobody notices until you come back. And they say, oh my God. He's back again. And all your children are saying, oh wow, daddy is back again. Oh Jesus. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. It's the same faith of that Abraham showed that brought Isaac. That same is this, it's not two types. It's the same faith in Christ that believes the word. Abraham believed what God said. It's the same faith that says, yes, I'm a new creature. I have a new life. Now, I am not what I used to be. What Christ did is real and true. It's the same faith that says, sin shall not have dominion, what? Over me, because the power of sin over me has been destroyed. It's the same faith. It is the same faith. And when you have that kind of faith in Christ, the desire dies. When the desire dies, it ceases to be temptation. As long as you are walking by your flesh, the desire is there. The devil knows it. It will remain temptation. And he will create the environment you will fall. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. But when you tap into Christ, the Bible says put to death. It didn't say manage distance. So distance can be put to what? Death by the power of God. Put it to death. It didn't say manage it. That's how you come and you say, I didn't know this brother is like this. Yes, now. Because he's been trying to show. And the real brother has now arrived. Are you following me? Huh? Are you following me? Let me repeat it. There is no branch that's going to bear no fruit when it is cut off. It's not possible. It is impossible. What's impossible? I don't even know what it means. I'm the one that produced it. This is a color of their English. You know, when you are there in love, pretty soon their language will come into your mouth. Impossible. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Let me tell you, brethren, when you live by faith in Christ, you start surprising yourself. I'm not kidding you. There are things that will happen. Instead of you losing your temper, you'll be so shocked how you'll be showing compassion. And you're like, this is not me. Yeah. The fruit is now showing. It's flowing from him. It's flowing from him. It's flowing from him. Can I hear amen? And when you speak words of grace. Compassion. People can't have enough of you. Because people are suffering. There's so much wickedness in this world. People are really suffering. There's no oasis of comfort. No oasis where they can put their head. Oh. Especially in the church too. Gossip. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you. So we come to chapter 5. We've established that Paul was teaching that faith in Christ is what gives you all that God has for you. Faith in Christ gives you the righteousness of God, gives you the life of God, gives you that eternal life, gives you everything that God said it comes. He said Abraham received the impossible because he believed what God said. That's all he did. It's not because he obeyed anything. It's because he believed what God said. So he received the impossible. The woman with the issue of blood, he received the impossible because he believed what God said. He believed in Jesus Christ and he received the impossible. And then that's what I'm saying. That's the way you receive everything from God. Everything. Including the life that flows from Jesus. It's the same way you receive it. And the thing flows through you without effort. Effortless. Are you perfect overnight? No. Because fruits grow and mature. Praise the Lord. So now we come to chapter 5. Paul began in chapter 5 by saying, because of this acceptance, This righteousness is not a state of behavior. It is acceptance. That God counts your righteousness, that God says, you have right standing with me, you can come. You can what? Come here. It's not a state of behavior. You can't grow in it. AD, come. See, AD is coming to me, right? Eh? AD is coming to me, and I can put my hand around him. This thing I'm doing to him, he can't grow in it. The acceptance I give to him is total. It can't be more, can't be less. I accept him. Right? And when God gives you that righteousness, what this means is that God accepts you. It's not the behavioral thing we're talking. It is you are accepted. You become in right standing. You know, to be in right standing is that our account has been settled. So you can now come to God, can have access to God. So this privilege cannot be more or less. So there's nothing you can do to say, let me make it so God accept me more. You have accepted. And why did he accept you? Because Jesus settled your account with him. Am I right? Eh? So the next time you want to ask God for something, stop trying to praise him that you are holy and good. You accept that. That would improve it. You accept it, you accept it. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, sometimes if we have something and we want to pray, we start acting holy. We stop, you know, and we start acting weird. Yeah? We become really religious Pharisees. You know, if you see the way we walk and talk that time, bro, I just prayed for 5 hours. The Lord is good all the time. You know, as a pastor, you run into all those things. Some people want to impress you. You keep running into it. When I run into it, I don't even laugh in their presence. Don't tell them. It's when I leave. When I leave, I say, oh, Jesus, you see a lot. They want to impress you because they're a pastor, so they want to show you. My friend, be yourself. The Bible said that God desires truth in the world. What? Be honest. Just go there. And God will still accept you. Amen? I didn't hear a big one. I said God will still accept you. Can I hear amen? All right. So chapter 5 starts from verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. So why do we have peace with God? Because Jesus paid for our sins. He settled the account. So we have peace with God. There's nothing anymore. What was the problem? We're sin now. But Jesus paid for it with his blood. So because of our faith, Christ has brought us. This is verse 2. Verse 2 says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved what? Privilege. Where we now stand. What is that undeserved privilege? Coming to God and being accepted by God is an undeserved privilege, brethren. The next time you dance worshiping God, remember this one. Remember it. That God, I'm so glad that you gave me this undeserved privilege that I can come. I have peace with you. I'm not your enemy. I'm your son now. Amen. Undeserved privilege, while we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We look forward to sharing his life, his power, his authority, everything that God has. Confident that we can share in it. It's not something I have to fast to share. It's something that God has made available to me because of this undeserved privilege of righteousness or justification which he gave me. That's what I was saying. A Christian must understand this doctrine and be grounded in it so that you can freely assess everything that God has for you. And those things are the things that transform your life and keep you above the normal. Amen. In verse 3. So we can now rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Do we rejoice? Huh? We don't. What do? We murmur, complain. But the Bible says we can what? Rejoice. Is there another scripture that says the same thing? Huh? Is there another scripture that says the same thing? Count it all joy. Do we count it joy? Ah, let's be real now. You see what God was telling me? He said, you people don't know the scope of unrighteousness. He said, if you don't have an idea. See, there are a lot of things you could do that is unrighteous. You don't even know it's unrighteous. I mean, when you don't believe God, the Bible says you are calling God a what? Uh-huh. But does it bother us? It doesn't bother us, of course we don't. And God says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know. We what? Know that they help us develop what? Endurance. Continue. And endurance develop what? Strength of character. And character strengthens our what? Confidence, hope of salvation. That this thing will be resolved. Confident hope. It will be resolved. It will be resolved. Why? Because we have hope that we're sharing in his glory. Not shame. No shame. No shame. No shame. No shame. The next verse. And this hope will not lead to what? Disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So we understand that God loves us. But look at the undeserved privilege he gave us. He said we know how he loves us. If you have somebody that loves you, cares about you, and you are in trouble, and he can do something about it, don't you feel a little bit more comfortable? Huh? Okay? So the next verse. When we were utterly helpless, he's still talking about the love of God, the proof of it. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Verse 7. Now, most people will not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still what? Brethren, how many Christians kneel down and bless God for this fact? The only time we thank God is when we have bought houses, when we buy new cars, when we marry, right? And all our music from Abba is about your market will prosper. God will give you more children, give you more money. You say, Father, all those traders, give them more money. And all the people that sing that, they call themselves evangelists, all of them. You see how our value is warped. We don't place value on what God places more value on. Look at what God did for us. Look at the privilege we have. That's why we don't value it. That's why we don't believe it. That's why we don't experience it. And it really means not much to us. Somebody wrote in the Bible, he said, what manner of love, what? Is this? That we should be called. He said, this is unbelievable. Yeah. If I don't have money, I complain. I have forgotten he gave me something more than money. Can I hear amen? So, this verse. the next verse. But God showed, and since we have been, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners, verse 9. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from what? God's condemnation. Because double jeopardy. You know what double jeopardy is? You can't judge me for the same offense how many times? Twice. That's why God said, you strike the rock once and speak to the rock. He went and struck how many times? That, and the man paid with his life. Don't strike the rock twice. Jesus had been, he pleased God to smite him. That's not for that smite. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. The next verse. Verse 9, right? Okay. For since our friendship with God was restored by what? Death of his son. While we were still living his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of even now that Jesus is alive, there is no problem that God will not save me from. The Bible says God knows how to deliver the righteous from what? He knows how to deliver the righteous from what? All their troubles. He said we certainly will be saved. Because Jesus lives, we can face. And so that's why we should rejoice. Because we know where this thing is going to end. Amen? Come on. We know where this thing what? Is going to end. Then the next verse. 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Why? Because our Lord Jesus has made us what? Friends of God. He has restored us to God. Verse 12. And add now from verse 12 to the end of the chapter is a comparison between sin and grace. He was drawing a contrast between Adam's sin and the grace that Jesus what brought us. So let's see this comparison in verse 12. Do we do that next Thursday? Huh? Are you tired? Huh? Okay, so let's try. Because I have about 8 minutes more. But let's see. When Adam sinned, sin entered what? The world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. For everyone sin. How come Adam sinned? Death spread to everyone. Because when we are born of the lineage of what? Adam. And that's why righteousness can never be brought by man, because man was born a sinner. Look at Psalm 51 verse 5. Psalm 51 verse 5. For I was born what? Sinner. Yes. From the moment my mother, it was every man came into this world a sinner. Because Adam's sin brought us death. So, in Romans chapter 5, verse 13, it says, yes, people sinned even before the law was given because of Adam. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died because of Adam's sin. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Put it up. Romans 5, from verse 14. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to what? Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. Now, he said that people died from Adam to Moses. Adam to what? Well, why Moses? No. Because Moses was the man that God told to build the temple, right? Did they build the temple at the time of Moses? Tabernacle, right? Did God give him the sacrifice? Huh? Did God give him the sacrifice? Huh? Did God tell Moses about animal sacrifice? Huh? Huh? They didn't give him. Who did God say, see that you build this temple the way I showed you? What was the purpose of the temple? So before God revealed that to them, there was no answer to sin. Because without the shedding of blood, there was no answer. Until God told Moses, people could do sacrifice, and he gave him prescription of the animals and things. But that sacrifice did not wash away my sins. It covered it. So because he covered it, now listen, that's why I said death could not reign at that point. Why? Because he gave man a limited access to God. Very limited righteousness. They couldn't come in the presence of God, but they could come in the temple and worship from a distance. It was better than nothing. And then the high priest could now come. So a limited access. Death means separation from God, lack of fellowship. And that's why the Bible is saying that because of the blood, we have been restored to fellowship with God. That's righteousness. God accepts us now. So death was reigning until God told Moses, this is how you do this thing. You do this sin offering, this offering, this offering, and this offering. And then when they do it, the sin of Israel will be covered for 1 year. And Israel can enjoy the blessings of God. Right? So when he says that death reigned from Adam to Moses, what he's saying is at the end, the time of Moses, God revealed the word of the blood that brought man into limited relationship with him. But in Christ now, that relationship has been fully what? Restored. Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we get this? Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. So now let's go to verse 15. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to how many people? Many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man who? Jesus Christ. You see the comparison now? The sin of Adam brought death to everybody. But the grace of God that we have in Christ brought forgiveness and brought life. In verse 16, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to what? Condemnation. But God's free gift leads to being made what? Right with God, even though we are guilty of. So it's a gift of right. He said Adam's sin brought condemnation, but God's free gift brought justification. Even though we are not perfect. Then what's the next verse? For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace. You see the comparison between grace and the sin of Adam? So that the church will understand where the privilege they have now and enjoy it. He says, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of what? Righteousness. For all who receive it will now live how? In triumph over what? Sin and death through this one man. You see what I said at the beginning? People think that this three gifts will make you sin. The Bible says no, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Because without it, you can't run over sin. I'm telling you, if you don't get this foundational truth, you can't run over sin. You'll be a cut-off branch trying to rain. You'll dry up. Because the thing that brings you into fellowship with God is that free righteousness. That's what brings you to attach to God so that this life can flow. You are accepted freely to be attached. So sin, Adam's sin makes death to reign, but God's gift of righteousness makes us now reign over sin. Is that correct? Can we read it again, everybody? For the sin of this one man, what? Adam, what did he do? But even greater now is God's wonderful grace and his gift of, for all who receive it will now live up in triumph over what? Sin and what? Death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. How many verses do we have left? Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings what? Condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Verse 19. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person now obeyed God, many will be made what? Righteous. Verse what? 20. It's not 20. 20. Verse. This is okay. Verse 20. Verse 20. But let's read verse 20. God's law was given so that what? All people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became what? What he's saying is that no amount of sin that is taking place in this world that the grace of God cannot handle. So if people sin more and more, the grace of God is also more and more able to forgive people and change their lives and give them righteousness. That there is no sin that God said, this is too deep, but it's too much. I can't handle it again. No. Because the blood of Jesus was shed for the sins of what? The whole world. So as people sin more and more, there is grace to restore their life. There is grace to forgive them. That see millions of people being changed all over the world because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Which is the next verse? 21. 21? Eh? No, 20. No, we read 20? 21, okay. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to the now, God's wonderful grace, what? Rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now people think that, oh, we were forgiven our sins. Yes, but I want to remind us something. That Jesus said, except a man is what? Born again. He shall not see. If it's only forgiveness of sin we receive, we still go to hell. Because our nature is heaven. It is that new life that changes the nature of it. So we not only receive forgiveness, we receive eternal life. We receive what? Eternal. Now we are born, so we can now see the kingdom. So it's not just that we are forgiven, but we receive eternal life. We receive a new life. We receive a new nature. And we are not the same people that Paul was talking about in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that we are unrighteous. No. We are different people now. We have been created anew. All things have what? Passed away. We are created in true righteousness and in true. Who will believe the report of God? Who will believe it? Who will say, yes, Lord, that's me. I've been created new. Who? No, we won't believe. We'll keep it by the side and take 10 commandments and be reading to church. The Lord will kill it. The Lord will help us. What's the next verse? Let's finish it quickly. That's the end. Is that the end? So we made it. Praise the Lord. Shall we rise, Pastor Victor?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.